Amen. So Psalm 106. I want to just look at a section there, starting from verse 34. So Psalm 106 and verse 34 reads, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance." And the title of my sermon today is Resisting Child Sacrifice in the UK. Yeah. Resisting Child Sacrifice in the UK. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how clear you make it about certain subjects and topics and issues that we face today in our world, and how there's nothing new under the sun, that there's so much that we can learn from your word about current day issues. And Father, I pray right now that you help me to preach accurately, boldly, and you know, preach a subject which is sensitive to some, but help them as well sitting here to just understand that, you know, that we have to preach the whole counsel of God. We have to preach on all sorts of issues and wicked sins that we face in our world, and please help me to do that clearly today, and fill me with your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Okay, so it's an interesting time in the world right now, isn't it? On one hand, you've got the overturning of Roe versus Wade in the US, and that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That I'll be honest, I didn't see that coming. I'm unsure what will come from that next. I think there's probably going to be a lot of violence, you know, and all sorts of sort of division from it. But basically, if anyone's unsure what really is going on there, you've got this situation now where states in the US are allowed again to make abortion illegal, which sure as hell it should be illegal, shouldn't it? And look, they, you know, while that's going on there, we in the UK, people love to watch what goes on in the US. You're sitting there going, okay, what's going to happen with the UK then? You know, would people follow suit there? Would people maybe start assessing this? Well, how does our nation respond then to that? Has our UK government decided to have a look and a rethink? Has it done that? Do you think anyone here wondered if they maybe thought, yeah, maybe we need to do something about this baby Holocaust that's been going on here for the past 50 years plus? No, just like that vile pervert Biden, because it wasn't Biden, by the way, that overturned it. Boris Johnson apparently opposes individual states being allowed to decide for themselves whether or not baby murder is legal. Apparently that's a step backwards, he's quoted as saying. It's a step backwards, which for most people is a good thing, isn't it? Right. A step backwards, yeah, would be a good thing, because I don't think anyone looks at our so-called progressive world and goes, we're really going in the right direction, aren't we? I really, really don't want to go backwards. Do you think there's many elderly people right now around this nation? I'm talking about the elderly people whose minds haven't been defiled to the point where they agree with the wickedness that we see everywhere. Do you think they look back and go, those were terrible days? Oh, you know what? In fact, we were saying about this the other week, they probably look back to even wartime and think, those were better days. Right. Yeah, because wow, how do you live through 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, then go through the 60s and get to this point and go, yeah, things are much better now. Things are much better. So a step backwards is a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, but look, a moronically ironic statement, which is what it is by our weirdos in power, by people such as Boris Johnson saying it's a step backwards, doesn't mean that it is a step backwards in terms of how he's trying to say it, isn't it? Our pro baby murder heathen MPs are apparently now calling for baby murder to be a human right. Can you believe that? They want it to now apparently be a human right and enshrined in law, and they come out with all this sort of stuff. Now, this is according to, you turn to Isaiah 5. Well, I read part of a report by the Christian Institute on this, where I'm quoting it here. This is what it says. Pro-abortion MPs are demanding that abortion be made a human right in the UK following the US Supreme Court overturning of Roe versus Wade. The pressure came during an urgent question time in the House of Commons called by Dame Diana Johnson. She asked whether the Foreign Secretary would put pressure on the Biden administration to ensure abortion is protected in the US. Oh, yeah, that'll do it, won't it? If only they hadn't called him earlier. You know, that guy from the UK, he's really holding some sway there, apparently. Christian MPs spoke up in defence of the unborn, but many others reacted angrily to the Supreme Court ruling, calling the decision to hand back power to elected state representatives an abomination and a threat to women everywhere. You can't make up this sort of stuff, can you? An abomination, apparently. They use our own words.
Yeah.
A threat to women. Unbelievable, isn't it? Now, of course, Isaiah 5:20 talks of this sort of upside down, inside out wickedness. Yeah. Woe unto them, Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. I mean, they are wicked, aren't they? How can you come out with a statement? It's an abomination. An abomination to be able to call murder illegal, to make murder illegal. Unbelievable, isn't it? But before we continue with this, let's just confirm a few truths. So, in case there's anyone here unsure about this subject, because we can sometimes take for granted and think, well, we're safe, we just know it's murder. But some people might be a bit unsure because the brainwash is strong. Yeah. The desensitization is strong. So, let's, for a second, forget the baby murders terminology, okay? So forget the fetus, the bundle of cells, and all this sort of junk that they come out with. Post-conception, what does the Bible refer to a baby in the womb as? Well, either a child, an infant, or a babe. A child, an infant, or a babe. Not a bundle of cells, not a fetus, not any other scientific-sounding name that makes you think that it's not actually a baby yet. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. 2 Samuel 11:5 is talking of Bathsheba and says, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. She conceived, sent and told David, yeah, this wasn't a good situation, but she said, I am with child, with child. She called that conceived baby a child. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 5 is talking of our lack of real knowledge, because we do have a lack of real knowledge, don't we, really, when it comes to things, although we love to think that we know it all, that our scientists know it all. It says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. So according to this verse, the woman with a baby growing in her womb is with child. Yeah, yeah? I don't think it's confusing to see that, is it? It's quite clear, with child. Yes, depending on the time since conception, it may look more or less like the eventual baby that is born, yeah? But it's still a child, it's still a baby, isn't it? Okay, and how developed they are isn't the criteria, is it? It's not the criteria. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Job 3:16 says, or as an hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. That's referring to a miscarried baby as an infant. Yeah. An infant. And again, he's not saying, oh, past a certain time. Luke 1, and we're going to look from verse 39, talks of when Mary went to her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And verse 39 says, and Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's a babe, yeah? That's a babe in the womb. That's a six-month-old babe in the womb. No, there's no other explanation for it other than life begins at conception. Okay, and that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Life begins at conception. I don't think you need to be a scientific expert to understand that life begins at conception. So we have child, we have infant, we have babe, all at varying ages inside the womb, used interchangeably. So with that in mind, killing a babe or child or infant in their mother's womb is murder. Okay, it's murder. You're murdering a human life. Okay, and again, you don't have to go to long debates about it and go to scientific textbooks. It's murder. It's clear as day. It's plain and simple. Forget the desensitizing terminology. Termination, abortion, removal, and all that sort of junk, which is just basically trying to make you think that it's not actually murder when it's murder. Okay, it's murder. In fact, it's not just murder, it's baby murder. Baby murder. And Exodus 20:13 says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. And by the way, that is talking about murder, not the death penalty. God says that he hates hands that shed innocent blood, doesn't he? Yeah. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. And is there anything more innocent than a baby in the womb? There, I don't think there's anything more innocent than a baby in the womb. And that's why it needs preached about loud and clear, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a pleasant thing to preach about, but we're commanded to preach about it. Yeah. Okay, so turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're told to reprove these unfruitful works of darkness. And look, when you reprove it, it might be that we offend someone here. It might be that we offend someone who's watching. It might be that we offend someone who maybe sadly has done something like this in their past. Maybe they know someone. Maybe they have friends, family, etc. But this is the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? And it still has to be preached, doesn't it?
Amen.
And look, praise God that if you have and you put your faith in Christ, then look, God can and does forgive you. Yeah, for a sin like that. But look, it doesn't mean that it's any less grievous. Okay, this is a grievous sin. And we're told to preach about it. 2 Timothy 4 and from verse 1, Paul's telling the preacher Timothy, I charge, that's command, I charge thee, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We have to preach it. We have to rebuke this wickedness. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, the love stuff, the don't offend stuff, the you're such a great Christian stuff. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Maybe fables like it's just a bundle of cells. Fables like our medical establishment is of God. Fables like preaching the truth will stop getting people saved. That's what we're seeing out there. How many preachers are preaching this stuff anymore? Very few. Okay, so it's a babe. It's a child. It's an infant. It's murder, and we're commanded to preach about it. Okay, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Okay, I don't think we have to go into the science. I don't think we have to go any further. It's clear as day, isn't it? So with that in mind, let's get back to our report there, which was an urgent question time in the House of Commons called by Dame Diana Johnson. Apparently it was urgent, this question time. Who, by the way, is some pro-abortion, pro-baby murder, bloodthirsty animal, this woman. Recently calling for baby murder up until birth. She's called for baby murder up until birth. She wanted this new amendment, an amendment that would have allowed for sex-selective baby murder. Like, this is the people up there calling for, like, drafting amendments. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? An amendment that stops medical professionals from being able to refuse involvement based on conscience.
Wow.
But this murderess isn't the only one. So it's not just one bad egg up there. A minister in the Foreign Office, Amanda Milling, responding on behalf of the government, explained that the Supreme Court ruling did not make abortion illegal. While she and the Prime Minister regard the ruling as a step backwards, she reminded MPs the court is in another jurisdiction, just in case anyone was wondering. Only like 1,000 miles away, but anyway. But Milling did say that the UK's position is that women and girls in the UK should have the right to access essential health services, which she said included safe abortion care, adding that the UK does seek to support access to abortion for women and girls around the world. Essential health services, safe abortion care. Sadly, people around the world do fall for this doublespeak,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah.
How many people in this nation fall for what is doublespeak, isn't it?
Yeah.
The murderers need to be able to do it safely, she said. The poor murderers. They need to be able to do it safely. What's next? Carjackers need high-speed chase training? Yeah, seriously, yeah? Is there any difference?
Right.
Yeah, armed robbers need you know, gun safety certificates. We need to make sure they're not going to backfire on them. It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts.
No,
but
yeah.
a bit of terminology there, a bit of, like, you know, doublespeak, and you have probably millions of people agreeing with this around this country.
Yeah.
She said, the UK does seek to support access to abortion for women and girls around the world. Yep, the UK wants to make sure that all nations take part in baby murder too. Because it's not enough that it's here. The whole of the world needs to also partake in baby murder and ritual child sacrifice. And I'll show you about that in a second. A number of MPs use the debate as an opportunity to push for more explicit abortion laws in the UK, with Stella Creasy asking if an amendment to the Bill of Rights would be tabled to protect a woman's right to choose for every single woman in the United Kingdom. Again, doublespeak. A woman's right to choose murder. That's what she's talking about. A woman's right to choose murder. The minister said she could not preempt future legislation, but confirmed her own view that she is pro-abortion, meaning pro-murder. The article then quotes some. I think this is what I said. I'm not going to go into the so-called Christian MPs who give some weak opposition, and it is weak opposition. Well, we think that blah blah blah. You've got a couple of kind of nominal so-called Christians that want to maybe please their constituencies, who maybe they've got some sort of so-called Christian presence there, but. Basically, it's weak opposition to a mob of baying child killers, yeah? And then it continues with this at the end. The issue was raised again in Prime Minister's questions later in the week. Labour MP Rosie Duffield asked Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab if he would accept an amendment to the proposed Bill of Rights, which would enshrine in law a woman's right to choose. Murder enshrined in law. Raab responded that the position of abortion is settled in UK law and it is decided by honourable members across the House. He added, it is an issue of conscience and I do not think there is a strong case for change. Doesn't sound so sure to me, does it? But what exactly is a law right now? Because I don't know if anyone's really aware of what the law is in the UK. What is the law around abortion? Well, abortion in the United Kingdom is legally available through the Abortion Act 1967 in Great Britain and the Abortion Northern Ireland No. 2 Regulations 2020. 1967, that's not a long time, is it? That's not a long time. So progressive, aren't we? Yeah, because for most of history, it was looked at as what it was, murder. Yeah. Okay, in England, Scotland and Wales, abortion is permitted on the grounds of risk to the life of the pregnant woman, preventing grave permanent injury to her physical or mental health, risk of injury to the physical or mental health of the pregnant woman or any existing children of her family, up to a term limit of 24 weeks of gestation, that's 6 months basically, or substantial risk that if the child were born, he or she would suffer from such physical or mental abnormalities as to be seriously handicapped. Okay, did anyone notice say if you just fancy an abortion, get it? No. So what's going on? Because that doesn't seem to be the case, does it? Well, the third ground that it says here, the third ground is typically interpreted liberally. The third ground said risk of injury to the physical or mental health of the pregnant woman or any existing children of her family up to a term limit of 24 weeks of gestation. So the third ground is typically interpreted liberally with regards to mental health to create a de facto state of abortion on demand. And nearly all abortions, 98% in 2019 and 20, are performed to protect the woman's mental health. So basically, it's legal up to 6 months, as long as you say it's making me depressed. As long as you say there's a chance I might get depressed. As long as you're saying it's going to upset the other kids. As long as you basically say anything about you're not happy having a baby, you just claim number three there. And you can see how they would have passed this through without people going, wait, you're just, because it looks like, oh, well, it's to protect the mum and all of this. So people go, oh, well, that's not so bad. But really, it's just used to just have the abortions on demand. So 98% are based on the mental health excuse. So how many is that? What's the real figures here? What's the real numbers based on so-called mental health excuse? Well, according to the latest figures from England's Office for Health Improvement and Disparities, there were 214,869 child murders in 2021 in this nation, over 4,000 more than the previous year and a new record high. This is a growing, growing Holocaust. 98% means that 210,572 babies were murdered with the excuse being to protect the mother's mental health. And do you know how ironic that is? Because not only was it obviously too late for that, for them to choose that in the first place, but secondly, it's their mental health that is so often, pretty much all the time, destroyed by having what the world calls an abortion, what we call murdering a baby. Okay, because most women, when you look into this, find it hard to ever recover from that. Most women are traumatized by it. Most women go through post-traumatic stress from that. Most women find it hard to ever come back from that. And yet they're claiming they're doing it to protect their mental health. How wicked is it? How inside out? How, again, what we read earlier, you know, light for dark and dark for light. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? So over 210,000 baby murders there. Interestingly, one of the number one arguments you hear is, what about life-threatening disabilities? What about threats to the mother's health? Yet it's over 210,000 baby murders were due to the claim of protecting the mother's mental health. It's a nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about the other argument? What about rape victims? Heard this one? Well, maybe there are 200,000 rape victims. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I know it's not a nice subject to think about. Maybe some of these were rape victims. Does that make it okay then?
Yeah.
So how about this? And I heard a similar argument. I think our pastor talked about this not long ago. Say a poor lady was a victim of a rape, yeah? And then her child gets to, say, 5 years old and starts to look like that rapist, yeah? Starts to remind her of that rapist. Would that be okay to kill that five-year-old?
Wicked.
Would that be okay? No. Just kill the five-year-old? Okay. Oh, no, that's not... What about 3 years old? What about 1 year old? What about 1 month old? What about 1 day old? What about 6 months old in the womb? What about 3 months old in the womb?
Never.
None of it is okay.
Right.
Yeah, murder doesn't justify it. Rape doesn't justify murder, does it?
No.
It's ridiculous. I talked about this not long ago with a guy, an unsaved guy, who said to me, what about rape victims? And I answered exactly similar to that. He just went silent. I mean, it's common sense, isn't it?
Right.
Yet, how desensitized have people become? Well, you've got fairly normal people, fairly sane-seeming people just going, what about a rape victim? What, just murder the baby? What's wrong with people? It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Murdering a baby doesn't solve any of that. You know what would be putting to death the rapist?
Yeah,
that would solve that.
Yeah.
Putting to death, I'll tell you what would solve that, putting to death the child murdering Dr. Death, ripping babies out of women's wombs.
Amen.
That might solve that.
Yeah.
Oh, but that would be inhumane. Again, the irony. Oh, but what, the death penalty? How terrible, how inhumane. Thou shalt not kill, they start coming out with, don't they, these liberal idiots?
Yeah. That's right.
Unbelievable.
Amen.
Okay, so we're commanded to preach about it, but what will that achieve? What does it achieve preaching about it? Well, firstly, if we don't preach the truth, who will?
That's right.
If we don't, if God's people don't preach the truth, who's going to preach the truth? The Roman Catholics? Well, apparently they do. Apparently they actually still have Roman Catholics camped outside some abortion clinics. But surely the hypocrisy of a Roman Catholic claiming to care about children isn't lost on most.
Right.
Yeah, most people are just thinking, yeah, right, buddy, we know why you want that child born.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, look, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Amen.
Who else is doing it? Who else is speaking up about this? There's not many, are there? Look, there are a few pro-lifer types out there, but there's not many. So what am I achieving here, though? Well, if this sermon resulted in one less baby murdered. Yeah, maybe it just kind of put it back on someone's heart to talk to a family member. Maybe it's someone here that maybe might contemplate it down the line. Maybe it's a child here that maybe might contemplate it further down the line. Wouldn't it be worth it?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be worth it? Because when there's a missing child in this nation, have you noticed how the whole town and village all flock out and everyone's on the search team trying to find that child, make sure that child's recovered before that child ends up dying? Yeah? But, and that's worth it, isn't it? Yeah, a life for a child is precious. We should remember that, shouldn't we? And that's exactly the same with an unborn child, isn't it? Okay, so all of us here can have an effect on the world around us, can't we?
Yeah,
everyone here can have effect on the world around us. We'll have our own worlds outside of here. We'll have our own, you know, circumstances, people that we're around that we can have an effect on. But God's people do get poisoned by the world, don't they?
Yeah.
And we do get poisoned by the world because there are Christians out there that have and will continue to murder their own babies. Okay, that's the truth. You're sitting there going, no way. Yeah, I guarantee you there are Christians that are saved. There are Christians even that are saved and go to church and try to live for God to some degree that will choose to do what the world does and murder their babies, and there are at least some that are apathetic towards it. Yeah, there are at least some that justify it, that excuse it. And there are Christians out there also whose children's children, or at least there were Christians, maybe whose children's children have grown up to end up thinking that it's okay to do that and have made that decision at least. Maybe they didn't think it was okay, but maybe they still chose to do it. So, by the way, it's not just the abortion baby murder industry either that I'm talking about here. That's just the start of the gauntlet, okay? That's the first part, yeah? That's like the test at the beginning. Can they get through every angle and every pressure to get to murder babies in the womb? Because once they get through that, if they even make it to birth, you've got the queues of death care professionals wanting to inject poison in them. Yeah, they've made it through to birth and they're literally queuing up to inject them, to poison them. And if they get through that, and they get through the many sudden infant death syndromes, and we all have our own theories on what a lot of those are caused by, then it's the junk formulas out there. And just filth. Poison in a bottle, poison in a packet with then the food industry, and poison in a drink, and it's just non-stop, isn't it? And if they get through that, and they make it to school age, and they get to school, well, then they're just being brainwashed and conditioned to become a baby murderer in the future. Then they're being brainwashed and conditioned to maybe even be part of the baby murder establishment in the future. And they're also just being conditioned for spiritual murder as well, aren't they? For their own spiritual death. So it's a gauntlet out there, isn't it? It's a gauntlet out there, and we don't want to be a part of that, do we? So let's turn back to Psalm 106, which is telling us about God's people getting involved in exactly this sort of wickedness. So if you're sitting there thinking, Brother Ian, you know, you're preaching to a room full of, you know, God-fearing, child murder-hating people, well, look, that wasn't the case, it seemed, with the children of Israel here in Psalm 106. So let's see what we can learn from it and apply it to ourselves in this day and age. So Psalm 106, and from verse 34, the Bible reads, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them." So, as you know, the title of my sermon is Resisting Child Sacrifice in the UK. How do we resist child sacrifice? And like I said, that might be for us, it might be for our kids, it might be for our kids' kids, it might be for other Christians around us. Number one is by destroying the nations. Number one is destroying the nations. The children of Israel were commanded to destroy the wicked nations that occupied the promised land. Turn to Deuteronomy 7. Because murdering their own children was one of the qualifiers for God wiping out these wicked nations throughout, you know, who were surrounding Israel and doing it through Israel. So, yes, God did basically call for genocide of these wicked nations. What sort of God is this? A God that hates this sort of wickedness. A God that will judge this sort of wickedness, and he'll judge it in various different ways. And he wanted them wiped out. He wanted them destroyed. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and from verse 1. Deuteronomy 7:1 reads, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." God commanded them to destroy them, didn't he? No covenant, no mercy. Is that what we should do now? Get out there and destroy these wicked people surrounding us? It can be tempting, can't it? Yeah, really fancy. I don't think we've quite got the numbers yet in here, but we're working on that. But yes, we are called to do that. We are. But it's to be done spiritually.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, it's to be done spiritually. I know a few eyes were looking up there, were thinking, can we? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." It's by wielding the spiritual sword, isn't it? It's by the word of God. It's preaching. It's soul winning. It's church planting. It's spreading the word throughout this nation. That's how we fight it. That's how we destroy the nations. But there's no covenant with them, is there? There's no covenant to be made. There's no ecumenical meetup. There's no, oh, we just believe differently on salvation. Oh, we just believe in a different God. But let's all buddy up and team up with this on this. No, oh, just bring your favourite Bible perversion and come on in and join in. We destroy them by preaching the truth, don't we? That's how we destroy the nations, by tearing down their false doctrine, by calling out their wickedness. That's what we're called to do, to call out their wickedness, to preach against their wickedness, to destroy the nations, to so that basically they're standing on thin ice when it comes to anyone that really wants to know the truth. To just see what absolute wickedness it is by the only measuring stick, the Word of God. Yeah? Calling out wickedness like abortion, like baby murder, like child sacrifice. We should be calling it out, shouldn't we? We should be preaching loud and clear about it. By calling out the wickedness of vaccines, by preaching hard on what that is, the filth of it, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, that it's completely against the principles of the Bible. By calling out false religion, by making it clear that it's false religion, that the nation that surrounds us are all into some sort of false religion or other, by calling it out, by destroying that false religion with the Word of God. And then that will naturally help the next point. Okay, so if we're there and we're calling these things out, we're destroying the nations through the Word of God. We're preaching it loud. We're out soul winning. We're planting churches to tear down those strongholds. We're spiritually destroying them. Then that will help the next point. Turn back to Psalm 106, but keep a finger there in Deuteronomy 7. Keep a finger in Deuteronomy 7 and turn back to Psalm 106. Which verse 34 said, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their work. So resisting child sacrifice in the UK, number one, by destroying the nation. Number two, by separating from the nation. By separating from the nation. Verse 35 says that they ended up being mingled among the heathen and learning their works. So go back to Deuteronomy 7. How do we as New Testament Christians, spiritual nation that has to live mingled among the heathen, separate? How do we do that? Well, look at verse 3, Deuteronomy 7, verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Okay, again, it's a spiritual separation, but that includes not being unequally yoked. Yeah. Okay, that includes not being unequally yoked. That means not marrying unbelievers. Okay, don't marry unbelievers, singles here. Don't end up getting into that. I might get them saved. Well, I'm not quite so sure, but hopefully. Well, they're a bit sketchy on salvation. They think you can lose your salvation, but I'm going to marry them anyway because I'm sure I'll be able to convince them. Don't do it. Kids, don't do it. Don't make marriages with them. Okay, don't do business partnerships with them. Yeah, don't make business partnerships with unbelievers. It's just, you're unequally yoked. It's going to go wrong. Best friends. You shouldn't be making best friends with unbelievers. Okay, because again, you're unequally yoked. Yeah, it's fine. Look, I'm not saying you have to not be friendly. There are old friends that you want to get saved. Okay, that's great. You don't have to cut them out of your life. But if you're buddying up, if you're trying to be a best buddy, and that's who you're hanging around with, you're spending more time with the devil's people than God's people, you're going to be a problem. You're not separating from the nation. When it comes to marriage, though, that is massive, isn't it? Yeah, I know people that got saved. They're married to an unbeliever. Are they in church? Are they doing the things of God? Are they serving God? Are they getting pulled into the world? Are these the types of people? I would say they're the types of people that are most likely to then start to excuse what the world does, because they're just around the world the whole time. They're yoked up with the world. They're in the world. They're not separate from the world. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. Because again, you might be going, look, we're not going to think about baby murder just because we're best friends with an unbeliever. Well, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You have the Holy Spirit, the living God, dwelling in you if you're saved. Amen. Being bound to someone who either directly or indirectly worships the devil isn't going to work, is it?
No.
Okay, being unequally yoked is not going to work. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, we're told to come out from among them. That's not living in a commune. That's not living in a you know, Shore Foundation Baptist Church UK commune somewhere. It's not refuse to talk with them. But it's not being unequally yoked together. Okay, it's not being paired up with them in the ways that whether or not that's marriage, business, things such as that. Okay, coming out from among them is spiritually, is what we do, is our principles, our morals. Yeah, being holy, being different to the world.
Yeah.
Because when you're yoked, you're joined together, then you start to compromise.
Yeah.
They're the compromisers. The compromisers are the ones yoked up. The compromisers are the ones still in the world, still just living like the rest of the world. They're the ones that compromise.
Yeah.
They get desensitized because they're around it the whole time. If all your buddies, all the people you're hanging around with, are all pro-baby murder, are all going down the baby murder clinic like it's some sort of contraception, and doing all of that wickedness, you're gonna get desensitized to some degree. That's standard, isn't it? Because I tell you what, 50, 100 years ago, do you think, maybe more than that, maybe 150 years ago, do you think people were just, you know, just, oh yeah, okay, is that what they're doing? Because there are Christians here that will know people that have gone and done that, been a bit sad about it, moved on. Going to get your baby murdered. You would have been what on earth? You would have been pleading with them. You would have been begging them not to do it. You would have been rebuking them. You would have done the lot, wouldn't you? And so would most of this nation. So would most of this nation. How wicked is it got now? And look, if you're joined together, say you marry, kids here. Say you grow up, but you care about just really, they're just so, you know, they're just so gorgeous, or they're just so whatever it is, so smooth. Got such a smooth, you know, smooth tongue. They're just such a great guy. Yeah, you marry someone that's not a believer. And what when they start calling for that? What when your wife says, "I'm getting an abortion. My body, my choice." What are you going to do? What are you going to do, men? Young boys, men out here. Because I tell you what, you try and stop them, you probably end up in prison.
Yeah.
How dare you? Her body, her choice. You abuser. You abuser for trying to prevent a murder. That's where we got to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what are you going to do, wives? You get with a guy that just not interested, you're getting an abortion, I'm not having it, I'm taking you down the clinic, etc. Yeah, look, and that stuff happens, doesn't it? Yeah, that stuff happens. Not just the abortions, we just talked about the vaccines. Look, and just because someone's saved doesn't mean they're automatically going to just, right, they'll be clued up and understand. But you would hope when they hear the word of God preached, yeah, they hear the word of God, they're going to come to the conclusion pretty quickly that vaccines are wicked. Yeah, if they're going and getting fed properly. So, but what if you've got someone who's unsaved? And they're, yeah, well, I'm still going to, I mean, look, and if you're sitting here going, oh, yeah, well, I got vaccinated, Brother Ian. What's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. 30 injections in the first year of life. Sorry, 30 different vials. Some of them are in 4-in-1s, 5-in-1s, 6-in-1s, just jabbing up that baby in the first year of life and onward from that as well. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a big problem. In fact, one was a problem.
Right.
Yeah, 30 in a year. If that's even up to date, I don't know if it seems to just keep adding up and adding up. That is a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
And what are you going to do when the unsaved mother of your child says, yeah, but I think that they should, because the doctor can't be wrong. He's so clever.
Right.
How could the doctor be wrong? How could the nurse be? How could whoever be wrong? How could the world be wrong about this? Yeah, look, don't be unequally yoked, yeah? Because you're going to open up a world of hurt, a world of hurt. Because, look, everyone here is going to now and again disagree on things. With a saved husband or wife, there are going to be things. But I tell you what, imagine when it sings like this. Imagine when it sings as extreme as this. And at the least, it's going to be harder to make a stand. You're surrounded by those people. You're surrounded by friends who are all pro-baby murder, pro-baby poison, pro-child poison and the rest of it. You're going to find it that bit harder to really make a stand, to really talk the truth, to really be honest about what you feel, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to come out from among them and be ye separate. Psalm 106, back to verse 35, said, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. When you're mingled, when you're unequally yoked, you learn their works. Yeah. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Amen.
Okay, that's a good thing to remember, isn't it? Yeah? And look, there can be some Christian fools as well. Okay, you've got to remember that as well. But he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And one of those works that was that they learned there was baby murder, was baby sacrifice. Yeah? And do you know what's one of those other works was that probably led to that? Fornication. Yeah, fornication. In fact, it just mentioned earlier in Psalm 106 about Phinehas, when he javelins one of the guys who's just openly bringing in his you know, fornicating concubine or whatever you wanted to call her into the camp. Well, look, what do you think is a big, big cause of child murder in this country? It's fornication.
Yeah.
It's fornication. Now, so in case you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, this sermon's against the world, it's against those wicked feminazis out there, and they are wicked, aren't they, these feminazis, these moronic, brainwashed women. And by the way, it's just a good reminder, yeah, men, and look, this is the truth, is that men, we need to lead our women, yeah? Okay? Men, you need to, and it's not just your wives, yeah? You need to lead your daughters as well. Because, look, they're the targets so often, aren't they? Their minds are so easily. How many, if you go along and you see these protests, how many are women that shouldn't even be there on their own?
Right.
Standing there, screaming and shouting, painted in all sorts of colours, bright green hair and the rest of it. Where's the leadership?
Right.
And that's who it falls at, the leadership. Yeah. Yeah. Their fathers are to blame. Their husbands are to blame. And men here, you're to blame if you're going out and fornicating. Okay?
Yeah.
Young boys, you grow up here, you're to blame. Because you're going out there, you're a big part of the problem. You're a big cause of the problem. You're going out fornicating, and then these women, these women are just, right, what do I do now? I don't want this baby. I haven't even got a man to go on. You haven't even, there's no chance of marriage. You're just out trying to get what you can from women. No way, you're a part of the problem. Yeah, men, find a wife, not a whore.
Yeah?
And you know how you do that as well, yeah? Is get your eyes, avert your eyes from all that junk. From all that social media, everything sexualized and everything else, avert your eyes and find a godly woman.
Amen.
Yeah, find a godly woman, not some slut, which is what sadly so many of these women are.
Right. Yeah.
And here's a question just on that as well, in case you're thinking, Brother Ian, this is pretty out there. You know, by the way, in case you're wondering, fornication is any physical relationship, when we know what physical relationship is, outside of marriage, okay? It's wicked. It's wicked. And in case you're thinking, well, yeah, but come on, you know, it's, you know, the world's got this right. You know, since the 60s, you know, you're a bit uptight and everything else. Are you really going to calibrate your moral compass with a society that justifies mass baby murder? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is.
And look, I've had these discussions with you. I had a guy recently at work who was telling me he was, you know, he's a vegan, yeah? Came up, or veggie, I can't remember, yeah. Came up in conversation, and I said to him, you know, we're just talking about it, and he's talking about, oh, it's just the poor animals. And I said, and I couldn't resist, I said, what's your view on abortion? He said, well, I think, you know, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. Said, so you think it's okay to murder a baby in a womb, but you're worried about an animal getting eaten? It's like, these people have just discredited anything else that comes out of their mouth with that, haven't they? These are child sacrificers, yeah? Baby murderers trying to tell you what's morally right and what isn't. Trying to tell you that sodomy's okay, yet these people, their moral compass is so, it's like going like this. Yeah, it's like you don't even know where you're going with it because they honestly believe it's okay to murder a baby in a womb. They're so mental that they come out with just completely ridiculous statements like, my body, my child. No, it's not your body, it's a baby. It's a baby. Ridiculous, isn't it? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Yeah? And we have to remember that. Come out from among them and be ye separate, because you will. You know, take heed, yeah? You think you know, those who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Because, look, you can and will fall. You start hanging around with these people. You start spending all your time. You get married to these people. These people who justify mass child murder. You're going to end up getting desensitized at the least. Yeah, you could end up with your child, your child's child, or whatever it is, being another baby sacrificer. How wicked is that? Look at verse 36 there, where we are in Psalm 106. It said, "And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And a lamb was polluted with blood." Resisting child sacrifice in the UK. Number one, by destroying the nation. And we talked about doing that spiritually. By the word of God, by churches, by church planting, by soul winning. Number two, by separating from the nation. Talking about being separate, come out from among them. Not yoking up, not being unequally yoked. Number three, by not worshipping with the nation. By not worshipping with the nation. Verse 36 said that they served their idols, which were a trap. A snare is a trap. Notice how in verse 37 and 38, how devils and idols are used interchangeably. Yeah, they sacrificed their sons, their daughters unto devils. Verse 38 says, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. Notice how they're interchangeable there, yeah? Because they're the same thing. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Behind every idol is a devil. And when you sacrifice to idols, you're sacrificing to devils. You turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Well, I read Psalm 96, verse 5, which reads, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Amen. Okay, all these gods are idols. All these idols are gods, small g. They're all wicked. They're all devils. 1 Corinthians 10, from verse 19, he's talking about meat sacrificed to idols. And it says, "What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils." Mind, all these false gods, all of the various idols are devils. And when our heathen nation, and this is a heathen nation, yeah, are sacrificing their children, it's to devils. Yeah. They're sacrificing their children to devils. Now, you might sit there and go, "Hold on, Brother Ian, it's an abortion. It's a termination. It's hardly sacrificing to devils. It's not like they're up on a hill, you know, and dancing around with Baphomet signs and everything else." Well, go back to Psalm 106, where it says, in verse 36, "They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons, their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." Ecclesiastes 1:9, by the way, says, The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." There's nothing new. Yeah, the idols of Canaan are today in the UK idols such as money. The idol of money. The idol of I'm going to get my baby murdered because it might mean that I can't get the career I want. Yeah, I'm not going to have as much cash to go on holiday. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do whatever it is. I'm not, well, if I have this baby now, I won't have saved enough money. I won't have enough cash. Men forcing their girlfriends in most of the cases, even wives. And that does happen, by the way. Men forcing their wives to murder their babies because of cash, because of money, because of the idol of money. The perfect career. And it's the same thing, really, isn't it? The perfect career. Women that will get their babies murdered by some wicked, vile child sacrificer because, well, it might mean that they can't make it through their university degree. It means that they might, you know, they might not be able to stay in that job. They might not get that job in the first place because they've already got a baby. They've got some sort of period where they can't, you know, they can't go and have a baby first or something else or whatever else is written in there, the uni degree. The Instagram body. How about the idol of the Instagram body? Yeah, that's it. That's so many people's idol. And it's popularity, really, isn't it? Yeah, it's to get all the likes and all the popularity and all the looks and everything else. The beach body, whatever, you know, whatever it is. Yeah? How many people will go out and murder their baby because they're worried about what it might do to their body, to their figures? It's wicked, isn't it? The boozy nights out. They could be an idol for some. Do you know how many people live for their weekends? They live, and sometimes even for their midweek, booze up as well. Well, I can't do that if I'm pregnant. In fact, you know, sadly, a lot of them probably still do anyway. But can't do that. Better go and get the baby murdered. Better sacrifice that baby unto the idol of the boozy night out, unto the idol of money, unto the idol of career, unto the idol of the Instagram body, unto the idol of the boozy holiday. Yeah? Well, no, if I have a baby then that week, that 2 weeks in Ibiza or whatever it is, don't know if I'll be able to do that. I know, I'll just go down the contraception clinic. Yeah? And by the way, that includes morning after pills. That includes all of this. That includes the pill, by the way. Yeah, before we just go, oh, well, it's just these people that go down and actually get that baby removed, yeah, in horrendous ways that we don't even want to go into. How about the person that's taking some chemical pill whose backup mechanism is basically silent abortion, silent murder of that baby? Yeah, is that okay? No, it's not. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Exactly the same with the morning after pill. Oh, it sounds so. It's just a morning after pill. No, it's a murder toxin that murders a baby in your womb. Yeah, it's all wicked.
Amen.
It's all wicked. And by the way, with that, this does continue into childhood, doesn't it? Continues into childhood with the worship of the doctor god and the injectable upgrades. Yeah, just worship the doctor god, just inject us, that'll make us better, that'll make us healthier, that'll make us our immune system stronger. It's the same thing, isn't it? And sadly, there's a risk there at least. There may be, I don't know, what the, you know, maybe if there's a scriptural way, I don't think when they pass through the fire they ever lived, maybe there's a chance of them living through that. Maybe it's like that with the injectables. Well, they might get through that, they might not. But either way, you know, the doctor god's right. All bow down and worship.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it? And look, like I said, I can guarantee you that just like 3,000 odd years ago here, there are saved women of God out there sacrificing their children unto idols one way or another. Okay? They're out there, they're doing it. There are men of God out there encouraging it, taking them to do it. So how does a Christian resist? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Yeah, flee from idolatry. Run from it, escape it, go in the other direction. Make sure you're not making idols, you're not pairing up with the idols of this world, you're not worshipping the idols of this world. And that starts by lifting things up as more important than God. That's how it starts, isn't it? Things become more important than God. Things in your life become more important than church. Things in your life become more important than your Bible reading. Things in your life become more important than going soul winning. Things in your life start getting lifted up above God. Yeah, or that thing, even though I know that's sinful, but I just really, you know, I just love it so much. You start to lift it up above God. And then it ends in all sorts of debased, debauched forms of worship, including baby murder. Including baby murder. It's a slippery slope. Turn back to Deuteronomy 7 again for more instruction on how to deal with these idols, these false gods. So Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 4, talking of the wicked nation, says, "For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." So fearing God's chastisement is a good way as well, isn't it? Yeah, to avoid falling into idol worship. Fear God's chastisement. Do you want the anger of the Lord kindled against you? And you can get destroyed suddenly. Yeah, it can happen. It does happen. And whether or not it's getting destroyed suddenly in that way, maybe, or it's just the ongoing chastisement of God, it happens, it continues to happen to Christians. And sadly, so many Christians, when they're getting chastised by God, refuse to accept they're getting chastised by God. And that's pride, it's stubbornness. That's the first thing we want to look at, don't we? Okay, verse 5 says, "But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire." Sounds fun, doesn't it? How do we do that spiritually speaking? With the word of God again. It's with that sharp two-edged sword, isn't it?
Amen.
We destroy, we break, we cut, we even burn with it. We destroy those idols by preaching the word of God. Yeah, that's how we do it. Preach the word of God. Preach it loud. Preach it clear.
You have to turn to Isaiah 58. 1 says to cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yeah, we preach it. That's how we destroy those idols. We preach it. We preach on the idols. We preach on all those things that sadly men and women and children of God will make an idol in their life. We preach it. We preach it loud. We cut down the false gods. We burn the false prophets with the word of God by preaching it loud from the pulpit. Yeah, that's how we do it. That's why when you come to church, you're going to hear sins. You're going to hear idols in your life getting torn down, getting ripped down, getting cut down, getting burnt. Yeah. And that's a good thing. Yeah. You're not coming here to come here and just get a slap on the back and be told how great you are. Look, sometimes you need some encouragement. But often you need the idols in your life cut down and burnt down, okay? And that's why people sit in a church like this and listen to this sort of thing, because hopefully you're sitting here thinking, yeah, I want to make sure I get those idols out of my life. And sometimes those idols will creep back in and they need cutting straight back down. Yeah. It's not enough that you got rid of them once, you need to keep getting rid of them, because we're in the world and they're everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we're hearing it, we're listening to it, we're taking it in, and our ears are open. We're not just sitting in there going, oh, I'm not really interested, I'll just keep flicking through the Bible to show I don't care. Yeah, that's not what we're here to do. We're here to listen to the word of God, and if you're not, there's no point being in here. Because you're not just here to hear, oh, well, I'm in there, I'll tick the church box, now I can hang out with my mates. No, you're here to hear the word of God and to apply it to your lives and improve. Yeah. That's why you come to church. That's why you should be coming to church. And if you're not, you need to assess yourself. So why am I coming to church if I'm not trying to apply the preaching to my life?
Yeah.
Oh, but you're not Pastor Anderson, Brother Ian. You're not Pastor Menez. No, but I've got the word of God here. And am I not preach out the word of God?
Amen.
I'm preaching the word of God. So if you're listening to the word of God, it should affect your life. And if it doesn't, you're the problem. Yeah, you're the problem. Tear down those idols. Yeah, let the word of God tear down those idols in your life. How do we resist sacrificing to idols? Verse 6 says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Look, we need to be as far away from this wickedness as possible, don't we? Okay, go back to Psalm 106, because there's an alternative, unfortunately. There's an alternative if we don't do it. If we don't be that holy people that God wants us to be. If we don't be that special people that God wants us to be above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Well, look what happened here in Psalm 106. We'll read from verse 34 again. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. So God's people ended up defiled, going after their own gods, and the result is his righteous anger. Imagine having God just abhorring or abhorring, however you want to pronounce it, you, just hating you, despising you. And look, you could look at this, a point on this, you could look at this nation, couldn't you? You could look at this nation and most of the world and think, why do they get away with it? Why do they get away with this? 210,000 babies murdered, just those in the womb, yeah? In this nation just in 1 year. Well, a couple of interesting thoughts I had on this. Firstly, those people, the vast majority of those people, the Lord will one day be saying, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Yeah, everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So there is that, isn't there? There is that to take home. But have you ever stopped to realise how many babies are in heaven right now? Mm-hmm. Ever wondered that? How many babies are in heaven right now, of which most, let's be honest, probably would have been raised to eventually reject the true gift of salvation. Yeah? The vast majority of those would have done. Of course, the best case scenario would have been physical life, would have been salvation, rewards, you know, having that chance at life, to earn those rewards, to go on, to then go to heaven. But look,
all those babies, every single one of those murdered babies is in heaven right now with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't have to turn to it, but David said of his recently deceased baby in 2 Samuel 12:23, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Yeah, and where do you think David was going? He was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, David went straight to heaven, and so does every single one of these murdered babies. But for us here, we may have to live here, but it doesn't mean that we want to then be partakers or become desensitized to it. It doesn't mean that we go, oh, well, they're going to heaven, so it's all right, it's not that bad. Look, it's wickedness, yeah? It's vile, yeah? Look, God hates hands that shed innocent blood, okay? And the land is defiled by the blood as well, okay? And only by the blood of those that are shedding the blood can that land be healed. And look, again, we sit here and we think it's coming, the end's coming, okay? And yeah, probably is soon, but wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if while we were here, just things started turning around and changing, and they just started rounding up every one of those wicked, vile abortion doctor deaths and just hanged them or stoned them or burnt them with fire or did any of those things in front of the whole nation and said, the blood is on your hands.
Amen.
Yeah, and how about, while they're at it, pretty much most of the politicians in this nation as well that have supported this and everyone else that supports this and have basically been party to this, right. Yeah? Yeah, it's not going to happen, but it would be great if that did happen, if a righteous government rose up somehow. Right. But in the meantime, we have to keep ourselves unspotted. Last verse, again, you don't have to turn there. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Yeah? And that's something that we want to do our best to be unspotted from the world. Yeah, and that comes from, like I said, destroying the nation spiritually, separating from the nation spiritually, not worshipping with the nation spiritually. Yeah. And for us, we can apply all those physical wars and battles and all those things to our own spiritual lives here. We apply them to our lives and we can keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And on that, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just again making things so clear, just with not much study really of just exactly what you think about the wickedness that we see in the world around us, the examples that we get from you know 3,000 plus years ago that we can apply to our lives today. We thank you that your word is just, you know, everlasting, that it just applies to all generations. And thank you that we have your word, because without it we'd be pretty lost. But I'll tell you what, we would still have our consciences, and look, that is a defiling of a conscience to acknowledge and to accept ritual child murder in this nation. Help us to be as far away from it as possible. Help us to be, you know, bold about that as well, to talk about that clearly with those around us, to not be ashamed of your word, to not be ashamed of the truth, to hopefully try and have an effect on those around us, to preach the word of God to them and help them to resist child sacrifice in the UK. And in Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen.